Welcome back, 51551 for your texts. Now, for some dairy farmers, the new rules around the nitrates derogation, which will come into effect at the start of next year, loom large. In March last year, Ireland secured a derogation for the period until 2025, and it is an exemption given to Ireland that allows a small number of farmers, about 7,000 of them, to stock cows at a much higher level. It's expressed as up to 250 kilograms of organic nitrogen per hectare, compared to other European countries who are limited to 170 kilograms. But excessive nitrogen pollutes our waterways, and because of this, from the 1st of January next year, Irish farmers who are in derogation will have to reduce to 220. So what are their options? Well, Jack Keenan is a young dairy farmer in derogation who farms just outside of Ockram in Wicklow. He farms at about 230 kilograms of organic nitrogen per hectare, and he has to make important decisions in the next few weeks about how he will reduce nitrates on his farm. I went down to meet him during the week.
This is Ockram. You're looking straight out the end of the shed into the village.
Because we're just in the shed here looking out, and it feels like you're king of the world here. That's an incredible view of the valley.
Yeah, it's not a bad view when you open the end door of the shed to look out. Cows don't complain about it.
Yeah, and then coming to the end of the shed, to the left there, the fields, the cows are there.
Yeah, they're just literally gone out. They've been in for the last probably hour after milking. They milk at 6 in the mornings and the fresh grass then in the shed for an hour, just to sort of build grass for the autumn.
Bit of wet.
Yeah, there's been, Jesus, we've had 100 mil of rain in the last week here.
So tell me about your farm, Jack.
Yeah, we're farming, there's 24 hectares here on the milking block. And it runs right down sort of nearly to the village, down to where the trees are.
Down to Ockram.
Down to Ockram. And then we have 20 acres of native Irish trees planted up the road here.
How old are you?
I'm 31. I was 31 start of September.
And when did you start farming?
I finished, done my leaving cert in 2011, and I went to Kildalton in Agricultural College in 2013. And then I went into the partnership here with Dad in 2018. I'm sure we've been farming together ever since.
And has your dad always been a dairy farmer?
Yeah, we've been generations here now. I think I'm the fourth or fifth generation. We had sheep up until I was probably 12, and we got out of the sheep and we're just solely dairy enterprise here on the farm now. We're farming 60 cows here, so in total we're farming 37 hectares of grassland at the minute.
Because you're in derogation?
We're in derogation. Yeah. We're in derogation.
When did you get
years.
To derogation?
This is our third year in it now.
Okay.
We built this new shed and milking parlour in 2021, and we got planning and we got Tam's grant on it as well, because I'm a young farmer and then we're in the partnership, so it worked out a 50% grant. Well, we've done the business plan with AIB. We were sort of forecasting that we had the land that we could 75, 80 cows, and that was going to meet all our payments, and that was fine. And we've slurry storage on the farm for 85 cows for 20 weeks nearly. So
you got the derogation from the department. The bank gave you a loan on the back of expanding your herd. The department gave you grants for building the sheds for that capacity.
Yeah.
But now you cannot expand, can you?
Unless I take extra land somewhere, which is going to be hard found, like around here.
So Jack, it seems to me you have three options. You can either lease or buy land. You can drop cow numbers, or you can look at moving slurry off your farm onto a nearby tillage farm or whatever. Talk me through those options. So the first one, dropping cow numbers.
As it stands, you're probably looking at between 5 to 8 cows. Come the end of the year, them 5 to 8 cows are your profit at the end of the year, sort of.
How much is that worth to you?
10 to 12,000. Once them cows are gone, they're gone for good, like, so that's every year going forward. These cows are heavily in calf, like, you're looking 12 weeks time, 5 to 8 of these cows have to go out the gate, like. And
because you're farming at the moment at around 230, 240 kilograms?
Between 230 and 235.
Yeah.
So you have to cut back to 220.
So that's in and around 5 to 10 cows for
yeah.
you. Option number two, lease or buy land. Now, is there land to be bought around here?
There is, but like, our car, like, we invested heavily here last couple of years, so we're not in a financial position to go buy land.
Would the banks give you a loan
to buy land? Not hope of it. They couldn't.
And what about leasing?
It's like hen's teeth, though, trying to find land to lease. Like, it's going to be a rat race come January. There's going to be 69,000 acres required in 2024 for farmers to farm at 220 rather than having to cook cow numbers. And like, there's not much more land being made nowadays. So like, something's going to have to give somewhere.
In reality, is that an option for you at all? Are you still looking, hopeful that you'll find somewhere nearby or not?
Possibly, like, but like, milk price isn't really backing up high land price this year. So I'm going to have to sit down and do the maths and try and work everything out. There's no point farming at a loss either.
Option number three then is to move the slurry off your farm.
Yeah.
How does that work?
You calculate up how much slurry you have to export, and you have to find a farm first that'll take in your slurry. They'll have to do all their soil samples, and if their indexes allow to take in their slurry from their soil samples, they can take it in. In the last couple of years, the value of slurry has doubled. And like, if I export all the slurry out, these indexes in the soil are going to start dropping because I'm not putting my P and K back into the soil.
So are you saying you need the slurry?
I need the slurry.
On like, your land?
My slurry's being generated. Cows are eating the grass. They're generating the slurry. I have to put the slurry back out onto that land.
So if you export the slurry as a way to solve your problem, which is that you need to pull back because of the nitrates derogation, new rules, can you put chemical fertiliser on the land, or what's the consequence of that?
You see, I'm at a loss then as well, because I mightn't have my P and K allowance on my nutrient management plan. So, and I have to buy in the artificial fertiliser then to replace what I have organically on the farm anyway. So I don't find that as much of a runner in our farm going forward. Farmers need answers quick. We need some sort of clarity going forward, because as I said, there's 12 weeks for farmers to make up their mind, and come January, there will be farmers under serious financial pressure.
So what would you say to someone who said, look, you know, the IFA, the farm organisations, farmers, this is not news. You've known about this for years. This is a derogation. It's a special situation. It was never going to be long term. All the indicators are that water quality is going down. So therefore, this had to happen. And you're lucky to be at 220 and not 170. What do you say to that?
The water quality results aren't showing the most up-to-date from water catchment areas. Like, they're not, like, farmers have changed massively in the last 2 years, but them results aren't being portrayed yet. Like, on the farm here, like, we've gone clover everywhere. We've multi-species. All our slurry is spread with trail and chew and disc injection. We've planted trees. Like, we've changed massively over the last 2 years here. And farmers around the whole country have done that too. Like, we were sort of told to, from 2015, to drive on, increase cow numbers. Like, what that has put into the local economy has been leaps and bounds, in fairness. Like, the employment dairy expansion has put into the communities is unnatural. Like, if there wasn't farming and agriculture in the village here in Ockram, towns have come to a standstill.
But is the environmental cost too high?
It is, but it has to change. But I think we're expected to change too quick.
So what is it that you want to happen?
A lead in time and clarity. That has to happen quick, like, because as I said, there's 12 weeks. Lads have to get farms sorted. It's not fair on farmers. Like, they're living on a knife edge as it is. Everything has gone against them. Could possibly plan for this year. And they just need something set in stone once and for all.
Jack Keenan in Ockram, Wicklow there. And Joe Patton, head of the Dairy Advisory Service in Chagosk, joins me this morning. Good morning, Joe, and thanks
morning,
for coming
Ella.
In. There's a lot of stress and strain out there, isn't there?
There is a lot of stress and strain, for sure. Farmers are feeling it. I think there's also stress and strain other than just the nitrates directive. Obviously, milk prices and input prices have increased. Output prices have decreased. Weather, obviously. So there's a bit of a perfect storm at the moment around farmers' mood, I suppose. And that's not just in dairy. That's across tillage and dry stock sectors as well, I would say.
And so, but, you know, one of the key questions, and we've asked this before in the programme, which is, will the reduction from 250 to 220 make a difference to the level of water pollution? Will it improve water quality or not?
Well, that is a very interesting question. And Just listen to Jack as he say, I think we have to look at where the trends are like with the, and we look at the EPA reports and the excellent quality of data that comes through the EPA. I think sometimes people don't realise the degree to which water quality is monitored in the country. And if we look at the trends in those, Ella, depending on the region you look at, water quality is actually stable in the country. If you look at the data in it from it, the water quality is actually stable in the country and in a quite a good situation in some regions. However, stable might not be enough. We need to get improvements as well.
So, and when you say stable at quite a high level of nutrient
not at a high level of nutrient load, really. It's at, if you look at the EPA reports, and I think we have to look at that objectively and say, well, what does it mean based on their criteria? Some areas are marginal, some areas are very, very good. And in a European context, Ireland's water quality is actually very good. So I think it's important that, you know, a lay audience or a general audience realises that we have a situation where, you know, there is not a catastrophic reduction in water quality in the country. The nitrates levels are stable. They need to drop in some areas, and there is work to do in that. And I think, you know, I think we have to be careful that we don't, there is nobody downplaying the issues on water quality, but at the same time, we have to put it in the proper context. And I think the EPA reports are probably the best way to look at that. The question comes a lot, so what difference will 250 kilos of nitrogen per hectare versus 220, what difference will that make? Obviously, when you decrease loading of nutrient, there may be a reduction in the risk to water quality, okay? And that's clear. But it might be a quite moderate change, actually, a modest change relative to what practice can deliver. Okay?
Can I just ask you a bit about this question that has emerged in the last few weeks about moving slurry off the farm as a way to keep cow numbers as they are and not have to buy or lease land? Can you explain how this works?
Yeah, so just to be clear on that. So really, the issue at hand here is when we have a reduction in the headline rate from 250 to 220, that basically means that the amount of nutrient per unit of land area has to decrease. Okay, so what are the options? We either reduce the amount of slurry produced, we increase the amount of area that we have to utilise for that slurry, or indeed we export slurry to a third party, essentially. That's the idea. Okay, so look, there is potential in some regions, there is potential for movement of slurry, but it won't solve everybody's problem. Okay.
So if I'm a farmer in, we'll say, like Kilkenny, can I move slurry to a farm up in Sligo?
You can move, well, economically, that's not going to be viable.
But am I allowed to?
Technically, you can, but okay. The key point here is what we need is for people that the slurry that's moved, that the agreement is there, that the farm that accepts the slurry is going to be, first of all, in a position to receive that their soil fertility and that their inventory as well. So just to be clear on this, it's not only farms that are in a derogation that are subject to limits of organic nitrogen. So farms cannot just accept, they just can't accept, you know, an infinite amount of slurry, obviously. So every farm is subject to these conditions, okay? So really, there are two things here. First of all, the farm has to be willing and able from a soil fertility and an infrastructure point of view to accept it. And then there is the economic question as well of the cost of transport and application,
which is high.
Yeah. And then you also have the issue then that you are moving nutrient off the dairy farm. Now, if it's excess nutrient, that's a positive thing. But if it's eaten into their own soil fertility and the chance that maybe soil fertility like P and phosphorus and potassium might drop, that could have long term negative consequences for the host farm. So there's a lot in it. I think that in some areas, particularly let's say where you've got maybe quite intensive dairy farms neighbouring tillage farms, there's a good opportunity there possibly. But that's not going to be an option for everybody, I would say.
What do you think is the best option?
The best option, there's a couple of things we have to look at here. I think the 220 is where we have to look at now. That's the reality. So really, we've been saying to farmers over the last number of months at this stage that we're not talking about changing the entirety of their system. We're talking about a change in the target in the system, if that makes sense. It's not we don't tear up the rule book here and say that we farm in a completely different way. We have to change our target. So there are options out there. So for example, some farms, and I think it's important we say this, some farms would actually possibly benefit from a moderate drop in cow numbers if they're currently overstocked. Other farms won't. Some farms possibly could look at partnership arrangements that their young stock, so for example, their calves and heifers, for example, that's about 20% of their animals. They could be moved off farm, for example, and managed in a partnership arrangement with a third party. That would reduce the organic load as well. So that's a viable option. Lots of farms looking into land lease. We would say be careful on that, because that has to be an economically viable option as well, but that's really subject to the quality of the land that's been leased and also the cost of the land that's been leased. So really what we're saying here is that there's 6,000-7,000 farms with decisions to make, and the plan for those is going to be very individual. We can't give very headline levels and say, you know, it's going to be one solution for everybody. Certainly not, like, slurry export's not going to solve everybody's problem. It's going to be a combination of these issues.
And you can hear the quandary in Jack's voice as well there, in terms of the decisions he has to make. But listen, Joe, thank you very much for coming in. Joe Patton, Head of Dairy Advisory Service in Chagas. Thank you for coming in this morning. And as farmers hurtle towards that deadline of the 1st of January, we will, of course, definitely be looking at this again. Well,